And this is one of those sermons when I basically came up with, I wanted to do, who is Jesus? Because the men's retreat was studying the book of Colossians, and the theme they chose was the preeminence of Jesus Christ. And He is preeminent. He is Lord of all. And where we get messed up in life is when we take Him off the throne and try to put ourselves on. Is that not where the big problems come in? But who is Jesus? Again, if I were to ask you to write a sermon or write a paper or do something on who is Jesus, you know, I'd probably get just as many angles to this as we have people that would do it. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, when you come up on a topic, who is Jesus, sometimes the hardest thing is to think, okay, what angle am I coming at? And so I just started doing a lot of reading and Bible verses and doing a lot of concordance work and finding out what the Bible had to say about Jesus. Then I went outside the Bible to find out some things about Jesus. And you say, well, how'd you do that? You'll see. Okay, because isn't everything we know about Jesus in the Bible? Well, yes and no. But again, who is Jesus? I just wanted to look at it. Again, what an awesome topic to take. Again, Jesus is mentioned almost every page of the Bible. And so you can see that, you know, the angles that I have to take has to limit my scope of how I'm going to do it. Or we would literally be here for what? Ever, almost, talking about Jesus. So again, if I do not mention things you think I should mention, that would be your angle. But I think I've got enough things here to give us a good perspective of who Jesus is. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I ask that You might help us to know exactly who Jesus is as we go through this study. Lord, from the Bible, from other sources, Lord, that You would reveal to us the absolute truth. And I pray that we're already believing that. But Lord, there's someone here that doesn't really know who Jesus is and isn't trusting in the real Jesus. Lord, maybe in a fake or a false or a counterfeit Christ. Lord, that we would put our faith and trust in the real Jesus who loved us and died for us. Lord, help us to learn things this morning or just review great truths we already know. In Jesus' name, amen. Who is Jesus? Again, I would say the first thing is we come to Matthew chapter 16 and you can see where Jesus comes in verse 13 and says, Who do men say that I am? Is basically the question is there. Who do men say that I am? And true to form, the disciples are going to answer His question. They're going to say, this is what we're hearing. And again, maybe I'm not going to give you anything you don't know here, but some people are saying, well, they think you're John the Baptist. You got to remember, by the time they've come to Matthew 16, John the Baptist has already died. And so some people are saying, well, we really think this is John the Baptist. And again, John the Baptist, again, he was a holy man. Again, he died for his faith. He was a martyr. He was preaching the Bible, preaching the Word. He was an Old Testament prophet. And sure enough, other Old Testament prophets previous to him had been put to death for their preaching. And he also was put to death. You can remember that when they asked Jesus about John the Baptist, what did he say? Among those that have been born of women, there is what? None greater than John the Baptist. So again, I don't know if he's a New Testament prophet because that's where we find him. I don't know if he's an Old Testament prophet because that's kind of the age that he prophesied in. But Jesus said he was a wonderful, great man. In fact, even King Herod, when he was hearing about Jesus, we're real close to it. Just page back to Matthew 14. Again, even King Herod, when he was talking about that, at that time Herod, the tetrarch, heard of the fame of Jesus and said to his servants, this is John the Baptist. He's risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. Herod was wrong. Jesus was not John the Baptist. You know that, do you not? But again, as people were thinking, well, who is this man? And so I kind of put it this way, that Jesus and John's preaching, both of them were absolutely powerful. So much that when you heard Jesus or you heard John, you could kind of connect the two because of their powerful preaching, their powerful message. So some people say he's John the Baptist, but again, I ask you today, is Jesus John the Baptist? The answer is what? No, he's not. Okay? Because someone greater than John is here. And his name is Jesus. So men say, humans might say, well, he's John the Baptist. Again, moving on, the answer is also found in Matthew chapter 16. Some people say he's Elijah. Okay? I don't know. This is a opinion, maybe. If you were to say who is the greatest of the Old Testament prophets, some would say Elijah was great. Others might say Moses. Others may give others. But Elijah was a pretty great prophet. And when you go back and you kind of mention the Old Testament prophets, a lot of times it's always Elijah and the prophets. Because Elijah was known as a great prophet who did great things. And again, he was a great prophet in the Old Testament. Again, you do have to remember that according to Malachi, it was prophesied that that Elijah would show up and be the forerunner. And we kind of know that when John the Baptist came, he was preaching in the power of Elijah, and he was the forerunner. But there were Jews who were literally expecting Elijah to come back on the scene. Not too far-fetched, because here's a man that hadn't died. Am I right about that? And so possibly he was coming back. And so when they asked around, who is this Jesus? Well, some people thought, I think he's Elijah. Come back. Not from the dead, but come back. And so they said, well, I think he's Elijah. You'll notice the third answer you get in Matthew chapter 16. And this one made me do some digging, okay? Because some people said, well, maybe, again, he's Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was a great prophet. And he prophesied in some terrible, terrible days through some terrible persecution and suffering and yet remained faithful to God. So, again, he was. And here's the part that I learned by really digging in, okay? The Jews were expecting Jeremiah to return sometime. I was doing some reading and finding out the Jewish thought of the day was that Jews were expecting him to return. And I was like, where did they get that? And so, you know, doing some studies through the Old Testament, I found out that, yeah, they could see that Elijah was coming back, and Malachi was a good verse to prove that. But where in the world did they get the idea that Jeremiah was coming back? I read the book of Jeremiah, trying to find a place where Jeremiah said, I'm coming back, you know, or whatever. I kind of glazed through and tried to find Jeremiah's name in one of the minor prophets, where one of the minor prophets would say, Jeremiah's coming back, but I couldn't find it, okay? But there was this idea there that the Jews expected him to come back. And when he came back, he was going to bring the tabernacle, the ark, and the altar with him. And guess what? I found them. Okay, now, some of you are going to get a little nervous. You know where I found them? I found them in my King James 1611 Bible. Because if you know this, the King James 1611 Bible has the Apocrypha in it. And so I went to a concordance that also includes the Apocrypha and found it. In both the book of 2 Maccabees and the book of 2 Esdras, it is recorded in the Apocrypha that Jeremiah is coming back someday. Okay? So, Jewish thought in the days of Jesus was what? He's coming back. And this is where the thought came. So when people say, well, John the Baptist come back from the dead? Well, they knew he was dead. Well, Elijah's coming back. Malachi said that. But in the books of the Maccabees and the Esdras, that's where the Jewish people got their teaching that Jeremiah is coming back. And I read it. And sure enough, when he comes back, and like I said, I don't want to, but these are stories. But somewhere before the destruction of Jerusalem, Jeremiah took the tabernacle, the tent, and he took the ark that was in it, and he took the altar of incense, and he packed them away to Mount Nebo and hid them in a cave and covered the rock, the mouth of the cave with rocks. And someday Jeremiah is going to come back, they say, and he's going to uncover the cave and bring the tabernacle, the ark, and the altar out. Don't ask me to explain all this, okay? And so the Jews were looking for that to happen. So in Matthew 16, when the Jews are saying, maybe this is Jeremiah, the reasoning is they were reading in the Apocrypha that Jeremiah was coming back. Okay, Jeremiah's not coming back. Okay, those books are not scripture. We believe in 66 books of the Bible. Maybe I should ask a student from Center County Christian Academy, how many books are in the Old Testament? There we go. Go, Tyler. You're asked now, Tyler. What is it? 39. Very good. You see him doing his fingers? Which means the New Testament has how many? 27. Okay? Because I asked them at chapel the other day, how many books is in the Old Testament? They all kind of looked at me and like, I don't know. So I said, well, count how many letters are in the word old. 3. How many letters in the word Testament? 9. Put them together. What do you have? So if you saw Tyler down here doing this, he was going T-E-S-T-A-M-E-N-T. And he came up with 9 and put 39 together. The old New Testament the same way, 3 in New, 9 in Testament. Instead of adding and putting them together, what do you do this time? Multiply and you come up with 27. So I believe in 39 in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament, 66 books of the Bible, but I don't believe in the Apocrypha. Okay? But there's some apocryphal teaching. If you're looking for it, oops, I went black up here. Are we still up there? Okay, then we'll figure it out here. Oh, back on it comes. All right? So, again, that's where they got the idea that maybe it's Jeremiah. No, Jeremiah's not coming back. And a greater than Jeremiah is here. His name is Jesus. Again, what's the other answer they gave? Well, maybe he's just one of the prophets. And again, the prophets, again, they were men of God that were sent with a message from God. They were men in whom the Spirit of God dwelt. But they still were just men. No deity involved with them. They were not God at all. So when they're saying here that he's John the Baptist, he's Elijah, he's Jeremiah, he's one of the prophets, all good men, all men that basically, if somebody would compare me to them, I'd be impressed to be in their group, which I'm not. How about you? But I'm not. But you know what? When you put Jesus in their group, you're not elevating him. Again, you're bringing him down to a level that he is much higher than. So I wrote this. I don't think I have this on the screen, but all of these views elevated Jesus above the status of an ordinary man. They show the Jews at least believed him to be a great man, even a holy man. But their views of him fall far short of what is required for salvation. Let's ask some more people about Jesus. Other contemporary views of Jesus of his day, people that lived in Jesus' day, besides these four answers we just received. What did other people say about Jesus? Again, in Mark 6:3, as Jesus was teaching, they basically just said this, "Is not this the carpenter?" So to some people, now I want to say this properly because I don't want anybody to come up and beat me up. To some people, he was just a what? A carpenter. That's all he was. You know? And again, some of these times when they ask these questions are pointed. Okay? Yeah, he's preaching, but he's just a carpenter. They're not going to give him any more than that. In John chapter 6, they said, "Is not this Jesus?" And notice they're saying what? He's the son of Joseph. His father and mother, we know who they are. He's just a son of Joseph. Right or wrong? Absolutely wrong on this one. But as long as they could prove or in their mind say he had a human father, then that means he's not the what? Son of God. So people in his day said, you know what? He's just the son of Joseph. We know who he is. Okay? John chapter 9, when Jesus healed a blind man. This is what the Pharisees said about Jesus. We know this man. And he's a what? He's a sinner. He's a sinner. Wow. That's pretty rough, is it not? So, and again, what's the theme of the sermon today? Who is Jesus? Go up to the Pharisees in John chapter 9 and say, hey, who is this Jesus? He's a sinner. Wow. Okay? He is, however, the perfect Lamb of God. He's not a sinner. Again, he was separate from sin. We know that from the Bible. Ask some more people. John chapter 8, as Jesus was again talking to some of the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees, they literally looked at Jesus and said, "We be not born of fornication." Somebody tell me what they were really saying to him. They were looking at him and saying, "You know what? We know where you came from. That story your mom tells, we don't believe it. They weren't married. You're just an illegitimate child," is what they're trying to convince. They don't want to believe in the virgin birth, that he's the Son of God. They were digging at Jesus. Again, going on, okay, as Jesus was doing miracles, some other people had opinions of that. "This fellow doth not cast out devils, but by Beelzebub, the prince of the devils." Again, when Jesus was out there displaying the power of God, because he was God, they're saying it's not the power of God, it's literally the power of the devil. And they connect him up to the devil, up to Satan, to Beelzebub. Can you imagine that? So again, they're saying again, you know what? You're not God. In fact, you have closer ties to the devil than you do to God. Following this up, again, a little bit more pointed statement in John chapter 10, where Jesus basically said, "I'm the door. I'm the good shepherd. I'm the great shepherd. I give my life for the sheep." And basically, as Jesus is teaching, running around and the circles of where he's teaching, the Pharisees are saying, you know what? He has devil and he's mad. Why are you guys listening to him? He has a devil and he's mad. Why hear him? So when you talk to the scribes, even while Jesus is preaching, instead of them saying amen, they're saying what? Why are you people even listening to this guy? He's the devil And he's a madman. That's what they had to say about Jesus there. Go with me later, and this is much later, right at the end of Jesus' life, Matthew chapter 27, he's hanging on a cross. Okay? The Bible says, and I probably should have put these in quotes, but they reviled him, wagging their heads. You know, when he was hanging on the cross, he was just a man to go on up outside the city there, walk up on the road there, see the cross up there in Golgotha, and then what do we do to him? He's just a man to make fun of. You know what? He said he could destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. He can't do that. You know what? They were making a lot of fun. Again, even a man hanging on, well, at first, the two of them, the two men hanging on the cross, what did they say to him? Hey, if you got power, take yourself off the cross. And as you're taking yourself off, take us off with you. And pretty much then when he didn't do it, they started reviling him, the Bible says. They started reviling him. Even the men that were there, he was just a person to ridicule. Again, because the promises that he made. Again, John chapter 7, if you were to ask his brothers at this point in time, your brother Jesus, who is he? You know what? They might say something like this. He's not who he says he is. He's not who he says he is. We just don't believe that. And again, so at that point in time, even his brothers, if you were to ask them, who is your brother? They would say, you know what? He's not who he says he is. And by the way, he had four brothers and sisters, but the four brothers would say, he's not who he says he is. And by the way, just so you understand this, later in these lives, two of these brothers were able to do what? Write books of the Bible. Who are they? James and Jude. So again, they did repent and change their mind. So who is Jesus? Again, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. No, he's a madman. He's a devil. He's a sinner. He's just a carpenter. Oh, he's Joseph's son. Okay? They're not doing too much. Now, let's go to this then. Who do men say he is today? If you go around, again, I wanted to keep this short, so I just got a few here. But again, if you were to go around and say, well, Jehovah's Witness, who is this Jesus? Okay? They would say, and I'll give you an address if you want it. They would say, you know what? He's just Michael the Archangel. That's all he is. He's just an angel. That's all he is. He's not the Son of God. And by the way, if you could get a Jehovah's Witness to come to your door and admit that Jesus is God, you've done something I've never been able to do. They won't admit that he's God. Again, as I found this in one of their books, basically he's just an angel. That's all he is. So the Jehovah's Witness, they do not believe that he is God. Again, if you were to go to the Mormons, I got a little bit more on the Mormons here, but again, quoting some of their doctrines. Jesus, our elder brother, was begotten in the flesh by the same character that was in the Garden of Eden, and who is our Father in heaven. Who's the character that they're referring to that was in the Garden of Eden? It was the serpent, folks. That's who they're talking about, okay? And so again, they're like, you know, it was just, you know, that person there. That's all it is. The Mormons would all say, Lucifer, the son of the morning, is our elder brother, and he's the brother of Jesus. There's the address on this, I believe. Again, they teach that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers, okay? Did you know that? Did some of you know that? So when a Mormon stands at your door and says, we believe like you do, don't get sucked down that drain. Is anybody with me on that? Because that drain's just taking you right to the gutter. No good at all. Again, so they believe that. The Mormons also, again, another teaching. Jesus was married at Cana of Galilee. He had many wives, including Mary and Martha. He also had many children. Anybody believe in this one? But that's what they teach. Okay, and so if you would ask Mormons, why do you believe in polygamy? Well, they tell you that Jesus was a polygamist. You can see that right there, by the way. There's addresses to this. So, you know, I'm just not making it up. I'm not smart enough to make up stuff like this. Okay, so you've got them saying these kind of things here. Again, one more statement from them. Jesus was the first baby born to God in heaven when God in a physical body had, I'm leaving words out, with Mary, his own daughter. He's the spirit brother of Lucifer. Okay, demeaning Jesus, again, just trying to say that he's just like we are, no more than what we are. Here's a group then that we might be familiar with. A number of things I could do, but in the Quran you can find this. Jesus was no more than a mortal human whom Allah favored and made an example to the Israelites. They are unbelievers who say God is Messiah, Mary's son. Now, again, when people say, well, by the way, sometimes we try to hear something like this. We all worship the same God. We just give him different names. Is anybody with me on that? Okay? You know, we don't even give them different names. They're different people. And I even tell people this. There are sometimes that we call our grandfathers the same name. Okay? And maybe you call your grandfather the same name I called my grandfather. But as soon as we start comparing our grandparents, we all of a sudden realize what? They're not the same person. Very quickly we'll realize that. So when people try to say, well, they worship the God, it's the same God we worship. No, it's not. Okay? And so that comes from them. That So I guess I'm an unbeliever because I definitely say that God is, that Jesus is what? Messiah. Okay? Is what we have here. Again, here's a group maybe that you'll say, well, wow, I didn't know this. Okay, now you know that the Jews do not believe in Jesus. They do not accept him as their Messiah. They've been strong about this through the years, okay? This is what they have to say, okay? She, who was the descendant of princes and governors, played the harlot with carpenters. Who are they talking about? Mary. That's who they're talking about. That's what they have to say about Mary. Again, and you can find this in their religious writings, especially in the Talmud. Again, the Jews go on in the Talmud to say this. Mary, the hairdresser, had relations with men. And Jesus just happens to be one of the products of her relationships with men, is what it is. Again, another thing that they teach that Jesus was executed because he practiced sorcery. Well, of course they would say that. They were the same ones in the book that I gave you earlier who said, you have a what? He has a devil. And so they've been teaching that down through the ages that Jesus had a devil and practiced sorcery. That's why they had to execute him. Again, one of the things that I found also, again, in the Talmud is because of Jesus and what he claimed to be and all that he was today, he is in hell being boiled in hot excrement. That's what they believe about Jesus. Okay? Now, I know that the Jews should be our friends, and I know that I would like to do everything I could to make sure they start believing in Jesus, but at this point in time, they don't. Okay? They don't believe in Jesus. So, again, it kind of has some things there. Let's change it then, and maybe get a little bit better. Can we do this? And by the way, you see I have a lot of screens up here, right? It makes the sermon shorter, by the way. Does anybody want to agree with me? It makes the sermon shorter to have a lot of screens. Last Guest Heaven, we just asked a bunch of men, people that were contemporary to the disciples, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. We asked some people who heard Jesus teach and saw him do miracles, what they had to say. Oh, he's just a carpenter, the son of a carpenter. He's a devil. Oh, he's a sinner. Okay? We come to today and ask different religions what they believe about Jesus. Nobody having a very good thing to say about him, do they? Well, let's go to heaven. And let's interview some people in heaven if we can. What do they have to say about Jesus? I think maybe the first person we ought to interview and ask him who is Jesus is who? Well, let's ask God. What's he say? Pretty good verse, is it not? This is my what? Beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. By the way, when did he say this? Matthew chapter 3. When did he say this? At the baptism. Early in the ministry, okay? Now, this is what I'm going to give you. Near the end of the ministry, he still hadn't changed his mind. Okay? As they were up on the Mount of Transfiguration, that's Matthew chapter 17, which is getting near the end of the ministry of Jesus. Because if you remember that as the men showed up there, Elijah and Moses showed up there, what was the topic that they talked about? Jesus' upcoming death. And what two great men to talk about death than Elijah and Moses? Both of them had... And I don't want to say death experiences because Elijah didn't even have one, did he? But Moses had a death experience that was a little different, and God went and buried his body. And again, so in the beginning, this is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased in him. After Jesus has ministered for almost 3.5 years, God is still saying what? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. While we're in heaven, why don't we round up a few angels and ask them what they have to say about Jesus? Think we could do that? I like it when people are like, and you're running through the concordance in your mind right now, trying to find Bible verses. What do angels have to say about Jesus? Well, I know that they appeared before Christmas, did they not? In Matthew chapter 1, I believe this one is when they appeared to Joseph. And the angel said to Joseph, thou shalt call his name what? Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So you can see here that this angel, as he was giving the great message to Joseph about who this child was going to be, he let him know that this is Jesus. And by the way, Jesus means salvation. For he shall save his people from their sins. Again, I didn't have time to do this or put all this down, so go with me to Luke chapter 1, please. You need to open your Bible. You got your Bibles? Go to Luke chapter 1. I don't have these recorded up here. But go to Luke chapter 1. Look at verse 31 to start with. As soon as you get there, you'll know where we are in the story. Again, an angel, his name is Gabriel, has appeared to Mary. And in verse 31, this is what he says. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Listen, watch, read with me. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Drop down to verse 35. The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called what? A carpenter. Kind of a letdown, isn't it? He's not a carpenter. He's what? Son of God. Who is Jesus? If you go to the angels and ask the angels who Jesus is, they know exactly who he is. A little bit later than in our Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, you tell me where he was at this point, where the angels were at this time. They say, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Where are we in the story? We're on a hillside outside of Bethlehem talking to shepherds. And the angels, this is what they have to say about Jesus. He is Christ the Lord. He is a Savior. So we see we've got angels here, and the angels, they tell you who Jesus is. He's Lord. He's our Savior. He's a King. He's the Son of God. He's the Son of the Highest. Now here's something that's really going to blow you away. You ready? We're not done interviewing angels. Okay? Yeah, we're going to interview some bad angels. Let's go ask some bad angels who Jesus is. Now, this is what really blew me away. Of course, maybe I don't know as much as you do, right? Okay? Here's what one bad angel had to say. What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou what? Because I really thought, you know, if you go ask the devils, the demons, what they have to say about Jesus, what do you think we would get? Oh, he's one of us. Because that's what the Pharisees were saying. You know, he works really close with us. Because that's how he's able to cast us out. That's what the scribes were saying. But when we go and talk to these devils and say, hey, oh, what do you think about Jesus? What do they say? You know what? He doesn't work with us because we're kind of scared of him. What have we to do with thee? But you know what? They call him Jesus, thou what? Son of God. Luke 4. And the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. For they know that he was Christ. Wow, that's different, isn't it? Even the devils know. Even the devils know, which as I say that verse, I guess it brings me to this verse, does it not? James said, look, even the devils believe in God and tremble. They know who he is. And yet, you know, there's people that don't have faith, won't trust in Jesus, don't know who want to believe who he is. And even James is saying in James 2:19, you know what? When I was on this earth, I even heard what the devils were saying about Jesus. They believe in him. They have the right answers. And so again, when you talk to people in heaven, they've got the right answer. This is a category then why we're in heaven forever, O Lord. Thy word is settled in heaven. So if you open up the Bible in heaven, and I could get how many hundreds of verses, but time is clicking away. But again, there are some good verses in the Bible that tell us who Jesus is. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Notice, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. Counselor, what's the next one? The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So again, as we come to the Bible and say what the Bible has to say about Jesus, we can see that. Let's go ahead and give another Christmas verse while we're here. Okay, Micah 5:2. But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is the ruler in Israel. Again, here's the good part. Whose goings forth have been from of old, from what? Everlasting. He is the eternal God. Now we use this verse to say Jesus was born where? In Bethlehem, and it was prophesied. Don't miss in that verse, not only was he born in Bethlehem, he is the eternal God that's going to be born there. What a great verse. So who is Jesus? Well, he's a baby that's going to be born in Bethlehem, but he is the eternal God. Again, can't go far without asking who Jesus is without hitting a verse like this. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. Okay? The Word was. And by the way, that verse is translated perfect. You pick up a Jehovah's Witness Bible, they'll put an before God at the end of it. And they'll tell you that they translated it perfect. They didn't. By the way, when they realized they didn't translate it perfect, they went out and made a new Greek text with an added word to it. Isn't that something? Well, their Greek text that they use is only 100 and some years old. Our texts are thousands of years old. It was manufactured. But notice, He is God. That's who He is. Let's drop down to verse 14. The Word was made flesh, dwelt among us. We beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father. And He is full of what? Grace and truth. The only begotten of the Father. Again, Jesus has the number one position, priority in heaven, because He is God, is what He is. Again, maybe we can get another verse or two as we look at the Bible. Again, Mark starts his Bible off by saying the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he's letting us know that Jesus Christ is what? The Son of God. Even Peter, when he was doing some preaching, oh, the spacing's not right. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know surely that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and what? Christ. That's the word. Christ is the word Messiah. You killed Him. You thought He was a devil. You thought He was a sinner. You know what? He's Lord and Christ. And then when Peter was preaching in Acts chapter 10, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, and then he's going to add what? He is Lord of all. By the way, just stop here because I saw this and I thought, this is funny, okay? There is a happy face at the end of that. But that literally is in the text. I didn't add it. Okay, how many of you use that little happy face when you text or whatever? Okay, you do. That's in the Bible, okay? That was in as I copied it out and I said, I should take that. Nah, I'm going to leave it in. Okay? So I'm so glad He's the Lord of all. Leave the happy face in. Okay? And I tell people, whatever happens in this world, I've got a God who is the Lord of all. Let's go to ask somebody else, who is Jesus? Why don't we ask Jesus who He is? We're in heaven. We've talked to God. We've looked at the Bible. And so let's ask Jesus who it is. No, notice what Jesus says. He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. Wow. Now, I love when I read things because it's people ignorance, but I have read literally articles where people say Jesus never claimed to be God in the Bible. What's He doing here, Father? What's He saying? You've seen me. You've seen the Father. I am God. By the way, He also said this. What? I and the Father are one. What's He saying? Oh, the Jews knew what He was saying, because if you read John chapter 10, what did they do after He made this statement? They picked up stones to stone Him and said, and Jesus said, why are you stoning me? For the good works I've been doing? I've been healing people. You want to kill me for that? For the good works we do not stone you for. But thou being a man hast made thyself God. They knew what He meant. So when people say, well, Jesus never claimed to be God, well, the Jews say they knew what He was saying. And notice this, by the way. You know from other parts of Scripture, the temple was still being built. Because Jesus said, destroy the temple, in 3 days I'll build it. And they basically said, for 40-some years this thing is being built and it's still not done. What kind of stones are on a building project? Are you following me through? These guys weren't looking around for grass. No, really, here at the church, okay, just really quickly, if you think about this, if you were to go outside real quick to get stones to come back and stone somebody, you might have a trouble finding something. Am I right about that? Okay, now I know just by walking around, there is some pebble gravel over here by the flagpole, so that's the way you want to go. But, you know, throwing pebbles at somebody, you got to hit them pretty hard. All right? These guys were picking up bricks and blocks. And they say, we're going to kill you. Okay, they were serious about it because He claimed to be God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, what did he say? I am. Somebody tell me what I am is. I do know that Jesus used the words I am another time in His life. It's when they were in the garden coming to arrest Him. And when they said, we're here to seek Jesus, He said, I am. What happened to the soldiers? Somebody tell me what happened to them. They all fell back. What power? He's God. He's God. Again, going on, what else does Jesus have to say? Jesus said, who are you? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I now call this the most politically incorrect verse in the Bible. Because out in America today, nobody wants to hear that Jesus is exclusive in getting to heaven. But I don't care if it's politically incorrect. Keep preaching it. Does everybody hear me? Don't succumb to pressure. Jesus is the only way. If we don't tell people that, who is going to tell them? Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, I am the door. A lot of you are trying to write real fast, aren't you? I got it all on things. We can run more off. But notice what Jesus said. I am all these things. Aren't you glad He is? Jesus went on to say, I am the good shepherd. Jesus said, I am the Son of God. That's pretty pointed, is it not, then? Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, I am the true vine. Okay, when you start putting this down here, folks, not once did Jesus just ever say, look, folks, I'm just a carpenter. I'm just a carpenter. I say that because Amos of the Old Testament, when he was preaching, they basically said to him, who do you think you are? Does anybody know what he said? I'm just a watcher of sheep and a picker of sycamore fruit. And then he said, but I got this message from God and I came and preached it. When they came to Jesus and said, who are you? He didn't say, I'm just a carpenter, but I got this message for y'all. That was good for Amos to say. But Jesus said what? I'm the Son of God. And I have a message for you. You better listen to it. I am the Son of God. Again, let's go ahead and while we're in heaven, let's go dig up a few saints that are up there. Find out what they're doing. Pull them out of the heavenly choir. Pull them away from the feet of Jesus. And let's ask a few saints that are up in heaven, hey, who is Jesus? Okay? Well, in Matthew chapter 16, we were there. And as Tony read it for us, Peter did answer and say what? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus basically said, you got it right. Now, that's my paraphrase of verse 17. Flesh and blood did not reveal it to you, but my Father in heaven. You got the right answer, Peter. Yes, I am the Messiah, the Christ. I am the Son of the living God. And by the way, watch this. That's why he's a saint, and that's why he's in heaven. Because he had the right identity of Jesus and put his faith and trust in him. John the Baptist said what? Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. A little while later he said, I saw and bear record that this is what? The Son of God. John the Baptist got it right. Let's look at some more saints. Paul. A lot of places I could have quoted Paul, but this is right after Paul got saved in Acts chapter 9. Right after he's saved, he receives his vision back, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he's a good man. Is that what it says? Absolutely not. Paul, from his very first sermon, was preaching what? He is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. We've got people like Simeon who saw him right after he was born. And he said basically to the Lord, you can take me home now because my eyes have seen what? Thy salvation. Now I have a question for you. What did his eyes see? A little baby. But he knew that little baby was what? Salvation. And by the way, what was that little baby's name? Jesus. What did I tell you the word Jesus means? Salvation. He knew exactly who that little baby was. We've got some other people that we want to ask. What about Nathaniel? Is Nathaniel here? Is that you? Know, are you Nathaniel over there, Scott? I believe you say these exact words in the play, do you not? Okay. I think you said, Rabbi, thou art the Son of... I can hear you. Thou art the King of Israel. I can hear you saying them. As I read that Bible verse, I said, I hear Scott saying these. And he said, by the way, Tim's not here, so I didn't pick on him. But when I heard and I read Peter saying, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, I hear Tim in the play say those words. I hear you saying, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. I hear that. Somebody else in the play, get ready. Okay? Notice, there was a woman at the well in John chapter 4. What did she say? Come, see a man who told me all things that ever I did. And then she says what? Rhetorically. Is not this the Christ? What's that mean when it's asked rhetorically? Folks, you need to come and see. But for me, this is the Messiah. This is the Christ. There we go. So we've got saints that keep asking, okay? Again, Martha, when Jesus was coming, the death of her brother. Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. What a testimony. You're not just a carpenter. You're not the son of Joseph. You're the Son of God that should come in to this world. There's a thief on the cross who I earlier displayed. What was he doing? Reviling Jesus. But somewhere along the line, something clicked, and he realized, this is not just a common thief like me. And he did say things like, this man has done what? Nothing amiss. He's not a sinner that they say it is. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. By the way, what kind of people have kingdoms? Kings. Am I right about that? He knew who Jesus was. And that's why when Jesus said, today, you're going to be with me where? In paradise. Today. You know, because you know who I am. Yeah, one time you reviled me and you made fun of me. But you know, he repented and put his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. We've even got some more saints, do we not? There was a Roman centurion. Is our Roman centurion here today? Okay? Truly. I can hear you. And I think you're on a knee at this point in time, are you not? Though I've not really seen you do it much. I'm behind a curtain. Okay? Truly, this man was what? The Son of God. And so I can hear Ken Gore say that. I've heard him do it a number of times now. Okay? Truly, this man was the Son of God. Who am I leaving out, Jason? I can hear you. My Lord! I can't do it like you. And my God. I mean, I can just hear you say this as you play Thomas. Okay? My Lord. And my God. So again, as you go through these men here, again, as they're claiming who Jesus is, you can see that they've got a good picture of that. Folks, I'm about done. If you've been counting screens, I don't know what up to. Bob might know. Been a lot, hadn't it? Okay? What about you? Who's Jesus? Okay? At this time of year, is he just a baby at Christmas? Or in a few months after that, is he just a guy on a cross at Easter? Or is he the crucified and risen Lord of your life? Makes a big difference if he's just a baby. Makes a big difference if he's just a guy that got crucified on a cross. And by the way, I heard he was crucified because he practiced sorcery. And by the way, I heard it was because he claimed to be God, but he was just a blasphemer when he did that. That's why they crucified him. No. No, he is the Son of God. And he was crucified and he's now risen again. And he can save us. Again, what about us? As I put this up here, is he a way to God just among many? Is he just one way to get to heaven? I don't think so. Because even Jesus said, I just got to quote him, is he the way, the truth, and the life? I didn't quote the rest of it, but what's the rest of it? Do you know it? No man comes unto the Father but by me. No man comes to the Father but by me. Again, that's pretty exclusive. If people say you're narrow-minded, then I'm narrow-minded. I told this before. I don't know if I've repeated it lately. But I had a man one time say to me, he said, you know, preacher, you are so narrow-minded that a flea could stand on your nose and kick out both eyes with one kick. I can't make stuff like that up. I'm not that poetic or whatever. You know, and I was wondering that maybe that was a little bit too wide. Okay? I think I might even be more narrow-minded than that. Okay? Because I just told him that Jesus is the only way to heaven. He thought that was very narrow-minded. Then I'm narrow-minded. And God bless that flea. Okay? It's okay with me. All right? What about this? Jesus, is he a good man? Oops. A great teacher? Or is he a prophet? I'm going to say, I lost mine up here. You working on it? But I lost it up here. Is it my wire here? Okay? Or is he a prophet? Now, I come back to this as you start looking here and going through who Jesus is. Again, this is how it goes. And again, we'll talk about C.S. Lewis in a minute or whatever. Jesus was not a good man if he claimed to be God. And he's not. He's just a what? He's a liar. Okay? Well, now watch this. Okay? Maybe he wasn't lying. He really thought he was God when he wasn't. Then what's that make him? A lunatic, a crazy guy, okay? Again, I'm not seeing what's going up there, but I think you can see. Is he a good man, a great teacher, a prophet, or is he the Son of God, your only hope of salvation? I hope you've got that, okay? Which I kind of go then to, I think, the more thinking, and this is where I got this. Again, this is C.S. Lewis. I didn't make this up. C.S. Lewis said, he's either a liar, a lunatic, or somebody give me the other L that comes with it, okay? Or is he your Lord? What is he? He can't be a good teacher. He can't be a good man if he's not what he said he is. Is that it? And he did claim to be the Son of God. God himself, the Savior of the world, the Lord of all. He claimed to be all of those things there. Again, I got a few more things for us here. My screen's going in and out. I don't know where the wire is off or whatever. If I push something in, I'll break it for good. I don't know. But I'll go ahead and do this. The Bible one more time. Can we do that? I'm about done. Everybody know that verse? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Folks, that's what I believe about Jesus, that if you put your faith in Him, He can give you all those things that come with it. Forgiveness of sins, a relationship with the Father, again, everlasting life. What are some other good verses? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. Again, He's the only one that can save a soul that's bound for hell as a sinner. I like this verse here. Again, they're talking about Jesus, but neither is there salvation in any others, for there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Folks, it's not Buddha. It's not all the gods of Hinduism. It's not Allah. It's Jesus. And that's all the salvation is found in. Again, Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Also in the same chapter, okay, as we go there, thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. I'm going to come back because I'm done. I think that's the last of the screens. Who's Jesus? Who do you agree with in this sermon? You like the Jewish view? You like the Muslim view? You like the Pharisees and the scribes? I don't like their views at all. I'm just going to stay with Jesus. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, the Savior of the world. It was backed up by God the Father Himself. Angels backed the story up. Even demons backed up the story. And those who come to know Him, you'll back up the story because you'll find Him to be true. The Son of God that takes away the sins of the world. Father, I pray that You might be with us as we're gathered here. What a person believes about Jesus is the most important thing in this world, which carries over for eternity. I pray that everybody here knows Christ as their Savior. Lord, that when asked who is Jesus, they won't squirm away, but they'll boldly declare with all the other saints, truly this is the Son of God. He's Lord of all. He's the Savior of the world. He's the King. Lord, I pray that we would not run away, but we would tell people boldly who You are. Even if it's politically incorrect, we'd not run away from that. But Lord, there may be somebody here that doesn't trust in the living God for their salvation. The living God is Jesus. Lord, they've not asked for their sins to be forgiven. They've not asked for the, as we sang earlier, for Your blood to wash us as white as snow. And Lord, to forgive us so You can take us into heaven, a perfect place. Lord, there's someone here that's never received Christ as their Savior. I pray they won't put it off any longer. But again, somehow by one of the Bible verses they saw on the screen, or I quote it, Lord, they'd realize that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And they come right now to put their faith and trust in Jesus and not put it off to another day. Every head bowed, everybody not looking around. Don't embarrass other people by them seeing them. It's all between you and God. If you know today that you're trusting in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to save you, would you just raise your hand to testimony of that? You know who Jesus is. Hands going up everywhere. Thank you. You can put your hands down. But maybe you weren't able to put your hand up. I couldn't see if everybody put them up. I really wasn't looking at any specific person. But if you couldn't put your hand up because you're trusting in Jesus Christ, would you like to do it now? Maybe I didn't give you enough information. You'd like to know a little more. But again, if there's someone here, say, Pastor, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. I'm not sure I'm trusting in Jesus. Put your hand up. I will not embarrass you in any way. That's why I don't want anybody looking around, because I don't want anybody embarrassed. Pastor, here's my hand. I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven, but I'd like to know. Here's my hand. Would you pray for me? I'm not going to embarrass you. I promise I won't. Pastor, here's my hand. Would you pray for me? I'm not sure. Or maybe you say, Pastor, I know I'm not. Is there one here? Say, Lord, just before the Lord, and He knows your heart. I'm not sure. Please. If you're scared to put your hand up, then come see me outside of this. But again, your eternal destiny is based on who Jesus is and your belief in that. Father, I did not see any hands go up, but You know hearts. And Lord, if there's someone here that's not putting their faith and trust in You, Lord, I pray that they'll repent now. Like the thief on the cross, before it's too late, come to realize that You are the Lord. You are the King. And only through You can we come into that kingdom. Lord, I pray that You would help us not to put it off another day. But for Christians, Lord, help us as we go in this world to tell people who Jesus is. They need to know. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.